just want to remind you of the second, or the first line, rather, of the second reading. Whatever was written previously was written for our instruction. St. Augustine said that this was true, and I always have to think a little bit to make sure I get it right so I don't get it backwards. You might understand it when I say it. That the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And it's important to remember that, because sometimes we can look at some parts of the Old Testament and say, well, that doesn't apply anymore because now we have Jesus. But really, the way in which God works in our life is that this is one kind of revelatory whole. It's telling us the whole story from the very beginning to the very end. And in order to understand what it is that Isaiah is talking about in the first reading, we do have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And we have to look at the way things were in terms of what God intended them to be. Because if we don't remember that, the book of Isaiah can seem like some hopeless fairy tale, the things he describes. But if we go back to the book of Genesis and we look at the way things were meant to be, we see that it was a world of both original holiness, people longing and striving to do the things that God wanted them to do, and original justice, that everything was in its proper order. Of course, sin destroyed that. But God in his goodness has given us an opportunity to see that original holiness and to see that original justice and to recognize that if we follow what God has to do, there will be the day when that returns to us. There will be the day when we are living again in the world of original holiness and original justice if we accept the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and live with him forever. Now, when we remember that, then what Isaiah speaks about in the first reading might make a little bit more sense, because he describes a world that's hard for us to imagine. A wolf being a guest of a lamb, the leopard lying down with a kid, the calf and young lion browsing together and led by a little child. The cow and the bear as neighbors, the baby playing in a cobra's den, the child laying his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea. That's the hope we need to keep in mind. The book of the prophet Isaiah really has two major themes. There is the part of the book that we would call the book of condemnation, where he is laying out for the people why they're in such a precarious position by the way they're living. But then there's the book of consolation, what God will do for the people if they turn back to him. And that's what we need to remember during this season of Advent. We are always invited to come back by the Lord. He loves us even when we sin, even though he doesn't love the sin. He always extends to us this opportunity to turn our hearts, to convert, to repent, to change our lives. But it's not always easy for us to recognize that we need to do so. And that's what happens in the gospel. John the Baptist was really not a let me see how I can word this in a way so that it might be better received kind of guy. He didn't have somebody that helped him to spin his message. He was blunt and he was honest. And we see it with the religious leaders of his day. They're a brood of vipers. They are called into question that their presence in this is not genuine repentance, but something else. He doesn't mince words. And yet, he reminds people of hope. He tells people that Jesus will ultimately come, that he will prepare the way so that this new life can be lived by people who are desirous of this salvation. The message of Advent is such an important one for our age. I don't know about you, but as I look around at the way the world is, it's hard to imagine that we're any closer to the kingdom of God today than they were in the time of Isaiah or John the Baptist or Jesus when he was here present to us on earth. We still are a world that doesn't seem to know how to share. We still seem to live in a world where there is violence and hatred and oppression. I think of the suffering that will occur in a country like Ukraine in the winter with very undependable electricity, the midst of war, the midst of violence, the unexpected living, not knowing if this might be the day that that missile, that drone, strikes the house where we live. And then I look at our own country, and I see that we can't seem anymore to disagree in a civil way. We're very good at disagreeing, but we do so in a way that's quite disagreeable. But this is the season of hope. And there's one more thing that's particularly important for us to remember during this season of Advent. And that comes to us in Paul's second reading as well. Are we willing to sing the praise of God in a world that has not yet known him or accepted him? See, I know that in this archdiocese, we're in the middle of this all things new. And it's going to be painful. There's no two ways about it. It's going to be painful. Because things that are very important to us, our faith life, our churches, our schools, they're not sustainable. This isn't sustainable. And it's understandable that people are sad about losing something very, very dear to them. Now, I didn't grow up here in St. Louis, but I think of my home parish. We had so many kids that made their first communion, we couldn't take the picture in the sanctuary. There were too many. We had to go outside. This last couple of years ago, before my mother moved, they had one young girl who made her first communion. Now, I don't say this to be depressing, because one of the things that I have found so impressive about this process that we're engaged in is that the starting point was not about buildings and structures. The starting point was to help us to understand our role in proclaiming the good news. We must get better at telling our story. We must be better at sharing the fruits of our prayer. We must be better at praying itself. For in so many ways, we are not the ones that are doing the work. God is. And so let's pray that we may see the hope that Jesus holds out for us so that we might proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and help to make the world just a little bit better.